This week in Retronauts, insert your own punchline here. I didn't think of one. Everyone, welcome to Retronauts episode 706. And the reason I didn't come up with a punchy tagline intro for this episode is because we have so many Retronauts here on this call that someone else can do the heavy lifting for me. That's the Retronauts difference this episode. I am Jeremy Parrish, and with me this week we have just about the full set. It's not a complete collection, but you could trade it in for an extremely high value. So let's please introduce ourselves. I guess we could start with the most senior of people here.
That's me. I'm not the oldest, but I am the most senior next to Jeremy. It's me, Bob Mackey, and I'm held in place with powerful magnets.
How do they work?
I don't know, but they will pinch you.
All right. And over in the United Kingdom, our correspondent from that faraway land.
Hello, I'm Stuart Jupp, and I'm going to be completely honest. I couldn't think of a joke either. I'll keep thinking about it, and I'll just interrupt someone with it later.
There might actually be nothing funny about Switch 2, the most tragic of consoles. Or maybe not tragic, but somber, the most somber of consoles. Let's see. Also in a far-flung locale on the other side of the day-night divide.
Good morning. This is Diamond Fight, where, yes, I live in Japan, where the Switch is the cheapest possible console and also the hardest one to buy.
And finally, here in the same time zone as me, and therefore vastly less exotic.
Too legit to switch. It's Kevin Bunch.
That's a good one. Wow. You should be hosting this episode.
That was pretty good.
It's too late. Too late. I called dibs. And we might have a late arrival. So let's wait and see if things become suddenly exciting. And we do have the full collector set, at which point, you know, when you're collecting game consoles and you finally reach that point of a full set, there's this sense of like, what do I do now? And that's why you should never collect full sets.
We're going to have to sell one of you. That's what we're saying.
I think there's more value if you sell the entire set together.
Oh, all right.
Rare UK game podcaster.
Well, I guess I'll see you around. Bye.
Maybe we could have ourselves greeted. Yeah, so anyway, while we're waiting for this other possible person to arrive, the reason we're doing a Switch 2 episode, which is not retro at all, is because for years, we've been stretching our boundaries, expanding our horizons, talking about things beyond the realm of Nintendo, and yet snotty little twerps on the internet still call us Nintendo nuts. And so, in my opinion, I might as well just lean into it. We might as well just go Nintendo. And it's all your fault, snotty little people on the internet.
Honestly, what do they want from me at this point? Like, what can I do?
I know.
Yeah, how many more parts about Sonic do you want?
Go ahead, Bob.
I was going to say, I'm about to enter my 15th year of being on this podcast and creating my own topics. I'll be a damn Nintendo nut if I want to.
I mean, when we hire people for Retronauts, we specifically cross out anyone on the list who says, I like Nintendo. You have to hate Nintendo to be on Retronauts. Nadia was grandfathered in because she's, you know, been writing for me since we were all knee high.
But you had to grit your teeth the entire time.
It was with intense reluctance. I was like, damn it, I have to hire Nadia, but I don't want to because she likes Nintendo.
Nadia's still knee high, for the record.
This is true.
It's true. I met her in person.
Oh, and something exciting is happening. There we go. We got the full Brady Bunch square here. Well, 2/3 of it. Hello, Nadia. You are muted, but you are live. Oh, turn down your radio. And finally, a late arrival, dialing in from the cold and distant land of Canada. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I am Nadia Oxford, and it is absolutely not cold right now. I don't know what it translates to in American, but it's nearly 40 degrees with the humidity here.
Oh, that's actually hotter than where I am. That sounds terrible.
It's quite terrible. I hate it.
So that's why Toronto has those underground passages, right? Everything's underground, not just for the cold, but also for the hot?
It's technically supposed to be for the cold, but these days I think it's pretty good for the hot more than the cold, and unfortunately for everyone.
It's like a sheltering effect and not like a New York subway effect, because
no, it's nice and cool.
The temperature actually climbs about 50 degrees as soon as you go down those subway stairs in the summertime. It's terrible.
Sounds Diamond like, is nodding their head.
They know. It sounds like you could just stay down there if it's good for all weather. Just, you know, why
people
leave?
People do.
Oh, okay.
The Toronto Morlocks, they're very famous.
They seem like they know what they're
doing. All right, so this is a very special occasion here. We finally, for the first time, have all of Retronaut's main hosts and contributors on a single podcast. We don't really do six people at once, so this could turn into unrestrained chaos. But I'm counting on your professionalism and my willingness to put up with a lot of tomfoolery as I edit to make this a spectacular episode worth the wait, even if it is not a topic that anyone had to wait for, because it is about a brand new video game system. Although I guess people did wait a while because we've known that Switch 2 was a thing that was going to happen for a long time. People were expecting it to be announced and launched any day now since like 2021. And here we are, 2025, and it's finally showed up. And the kind of question here about Switch 2 to justify it being on a retro gaming podcast is not, what old games can you play on it? Although that's a good question. But really, where does it fit into history in terms of console launches and console strategies? How does it reflect Nintendo's own past? Those are the kind of questions I want to tackle. And I want to sort of compare the Switch to previous Nintendo launches, because there's been a lot of criticism of Switch 2, you know, in terms of price point, in terms of the features it offers, in terms of the you know, dedicated games it offers that are bespoke for the system. But I think if you actually sit down and compare it to past Nintendo consoles, most of them have actually been pretty meager launches, and they don't really kind of shape up until a bit later. And in any case, that doesn't seem to have been a huge deterrent, because it is now the fastest selling console of all time. Is that like at launch? Is that correct?
That's what I read. Yeah. Yeah. But, that seems to be like the case.
5 million units in a month.
That's crazy.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And I guess that's why Nintendo took so long to launch it, so they could just churn out 5 million of these things to have them in people's hands. Because usually, as you will recall, having been console gaming fans for many years, Nintendo kind of leans heavily on the idea of shortage, scarcity, FOMO as a primary driver for the first season or two of its consoles. Certainly, I remember the shortages around the NES, the shortages around the N64, the shortages around the Wii.
The Wii, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was really hard to find those things. It kind of alternates every other platform, like. You didn't have any trouble finding Wii U for some reason.
No, I actually went to the New York launch for Wii U, and I remember going to that Toys R Us that used to be there, and just seeing that just a stack of Wii U's still there waiting. I was like, oh dear, I don't know if this thing's going to really make it.
Yeah, I made a command decision as EIC of 1UP at the time of the Wii U launch, because I remembered how allocated the Wii was and how hard it was to actually effectively create coverage of the system in the early days, because there were so few people who had access to it. And so I said, I am going to pre-order like three of these for the site, so we will not have any shortages. Everyone will have access. And that turned out to be such enormous overkill. Aside from the fact that Nintendo like drove to the office and gave us some, and out of a food truck for some reason. Do you remember that, Bob? That was really weird.
I don't think I was there that day. I think I was working from home on something, but I have heard about the food truck. They were not chained to women this time.
I've done the PSP chain to a big dude once. That was weird.
Whoa. Yeah, the Tether girls who came and brought the 3DSs to the 1UP offices. That was... Were you there at the time? I think you were.
Yes, I was. I was working there at the time. But I think I was working from home on something, which we did occasionally if we had a big project or a big review.
Oh, the 3DS Tether Girl?
Oh, no, no. That was like a few months before I showed up at on site, like in June of 2011.
Yeah, I think that was right when we moved offices and we were still getting used to like the big open newsroom style. And it was a very strange space. And the fact that the women chained to 3DSs came to our office to give us 3DSs very early on just kind of set the tone. But there was no shortage of Wii U's. And also, there was no reason to actually cover things on Wii U. So that was a huge mistake. We probably could have used that money some other way. Like, IGN probably would have just kept it. It's fine. This has been a preview of a patron-exclusive Retronauts episode. If you enjoy what you've heard so far, the great news is that you can hear the rest of this episode by going to patreon.com/retronauts and subscribing to the show at the $5 a month or higher levels. Not only will you be able to hear this full episode, but you'll have instant access to hundreds of other podcasts, mini-columns, and more. It's the best deal in internet entertainment. patreon.com/retronauts. Thanks for your support.